In the name of the one God, author, word, and translator. Amen. Please be seated. Years ago this month, the great Curtis Mayfield, the famous R&B singer from the 50s and 60s, was at the March on Washington, where tens of thousands of people gathered at the foot of the Lincoln Memorial, pleading for equal justice, equal treatment, equal voting rights. Mayfield heard Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. deliver his I Have a Dream speech. He heard the voices of the assembled masses singing, We Shall Overcome. And inspired, Mayfield wrote a song, one that became something of an anthem in its own right for the civil rights movement. And some of you who are as old as I am may recall it. People get ready, there's a train coming. Don't need no baggage, you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. People, get ready. It's coming. Pay attention. You don't need to carry anything with you. You don't need anything but faith. Could there be a more apt anthem for us today? If we wanted a song that most perfectly expressed what we heard this morning in the epistle and in the gospel, that passage from Hebrews where Paul teaches what faith looks like. And the story from Luke where Jesus says, prepare yourselves. We could not find a more appropriate song than people get ready. It links together the necessity for reordering our priorities and for trusting, having faith in the midst of tumult. In times of great change, there are moments when critically important messages are delivered, and often those who hear them don't understand the full import of them just then. But there's a feeling that we have that this is something that we need to pay attention to when we hear those words, to take them into our hearts. We need to trust the words. If we have faith, as Paul says, we trust in the assurance of things hoped for the conviction of things not seen. I expect that many who listened to Dr. King in August of 1963 had no idea the power that his I Have a Dream oration would have and continues to have this day. A speech that reminds us of Abraham's faith, just as St. Paul reminds us of it in the passage from Hebrews. Dr. King died before the work of equality for all, regardless of skin color, could be completed, but he had faith that it would come eventually. Abraham died before the Israelites made it all the way to the promised land, but he had faith that his people would get there. And we know that Jesus died before the world truly understood the gift that he was and the gift that he gave us. And we could even say that the world still does not completely understand that gift. People get ready for the train to Jordan. It's picking up passengers from coast to coast. Faith is the key. Open the doors and board them. There's hope for all among those loved the most. Jesus says that there's a change coming. Change in the way that we relate to our Creator. We are to drop all of the baggage of our former understanding. And we're supposed to make new purses, not ones to hold our money. Jesus says that's one of the things that gets in the way sometimes. But virtual purses that will hold our transformed hearts and souls. The old ways and values are replaced with ones that hold love as the most important virtue. Love of God. Love of neighbor without exception. When Jesus talks about this, because he knows that sometimes his words are hard for us to understand, he gives a little mini parable, a little explanatory story about a master who comes home at an unexpected hour. And his servants are ready to do whatever he asks. They're prepared. And the master is so pleased with them that he has them sit down for a meal with him, and he serves them. Jesus is saying that the servants have their priorities straight. They're ready to do their jobs whenever necessary. And they're aware that the master will come at any time and everything is prepared. No one's off playing a video game on their computer. No one's away sleeping off too much wine. They are ready. And part of the reason why they're ready is because they have faith that at some point the master is going to return, and because they love and respect the master, they want to be ready. They want everything to be just so. They don't know the hour, but they know that he will return. Now, when Jesus is telling this story, he is in fact talking about his own return at the end of days, whenever it might come. And he wants those who listen to know that if they believe in him, if they have faith in him, they will be ready and they will be blessed because of it. Readiness is one of those things that we worry about, isn't it? In this hurricane season, we've gotten our usual guidance about the things we should have prepared, things we should have ready in case a hurricane comes. Water, canned food, radios that operate on batteries, and the batteries themselves. I expect that some of us were wondering if we had everything organized as we should yesterday when that mighty but brief storm hit. It's the summer equivalent of what happens every year in the wintertime when there's a hint of a snowstorm and everybody rushes to the grocery store to get their milk and their bread and their toilet paper. The holy trinity of snowstorms. Such an odd collection of things that people worry about running out of. But there are other worries about readiness that take less benign turns. I'm sure that each of us knows someone who says all sorts of things of dubious value because they fear that they might need it someday. My mother was notorious for saving rubber bands. And we were talking about those balls of rubber bands. She had a rather large one, but over time, the rubber had sort of deteriorated, so if you tried to use any of the rubber bands, they just snap anyway. So it wasn't really a very useful thing to save, like bits of string or thumbtacks. We had a whole box of thumbtacks when we cleaned her house. And everyone I know of a certain age has piles of old National Geographics somewhere in their house. And some of you are nodding your heads because you might want to refer to that article about mutant polar bears someday. So you hang on to it. Or it might be canned goods. Gotta keep some canned goods put up. Or it might be clothes. Clothes. I have size 8 clothes, and I have size 10 clothes, and then I've got other clothes that are not those sizes that I can actually fit into. The odds that I will ever fit back into the size 8s are very slim indeed. Yes, I know it's a bad pun. But I hang on to them They're part of the baggage that Jesus says, let go of. I'm expending all this energy keeping stuff that I'm not using because I might need it someday if by some miracle I am back into a size 8. Of course, by that time, all the clothes that I saved would be out of style, so what's the point? But a girl can hope, right? Those of us who hang on to our stuff out of worry need to listen to Jesus and Paul, because there's a difference between preparedness and readiness and hanging on to stuff out of just worry. Because first of all, getting ready for Jesus isn't like making up your hurricane emergency kit. It's actually something very different. It's much more like spring house cleaning. If you had the whole family coming to your house for Easter, you'd probably do a good spring house cleaning, get rid of all the old stuff, or at least pack it away, and prepare for the family's arrival, sort of like the servants in the story. You have faith when you get done that you will have what you need for the visit, and you've done all your preparation work. So all that's left is to be ready to hear their tires on the gravel in the driveway, so that you can greet them with joy, just like the servants in the parable. Leads to another question. If you decided you would do a spiritual spring house cleaning to be ready for Jesus, because we never know when he's going to come back, right? It's pretty clear about that. What would you want to get rid of? How about old fears about whether you need lots of stuff to make you feel secure or safe or good? How about old prejudices about who is my neighbor? How about old beliefs that say that Jesus would never find you lovable or worthy because you are such a sinner? Good stuff to get rid of, baggage to dispose of. So what would you want to hold on to, since where your treasure is, there your heart is also? How about faith? Faith that Jesus loves you just as you are. How about faith that we can change the world a little bit at a time? How about faith that we don't really need stuff to feel better? Faith that we may not completely understand some of the good things that are happening in the world, but that we can see the Lord's hand in it. How about faith that we may not see the change that we hope for in the darker things that are going on in our world, but that the Lord walks with us and encourages us through it all and guides us and protects us? People, get ready. There's a train coming. Don't need no baggage. You just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesels humming. Don't need no ticket. You just thank the Lord.